This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
City workers starved under Bloomberg send message to mayoral candidates. They demand fair contracts.
To New York, to City Hall Park, where thousands of municipal employees, including healthcare and education and sanitation and transit, communication and public housing workers, the diverse category of workers who make this city run, filled City Hall Park demanding new labor contracts. New York City's more than 300,000 employees have spent up to 4 years working under expired union contracts without any wage increase at all to keep pace with inflation, while Mayor Bloomberg does what, Ken?
Contends salary increases and retroactive pay would blow a massive hole in the city's budget. Meanwhile, Bloomberg's predicted budget deficits in the past each year have actually ended with billions in surpluses, and he continues to give billions in tax breaks to the corporations and high-priced consultants and contracts, some of whom have been marked by fraud and incompetence. So now municipal workers demand a new deal from a new mayor in a new year, and let's hear that rally now.
Whose city? Who takes care of the city? Who cleans the city? Who teaches the kids? Who moves the city? Who keeps the city safe? And is it time we get treated fairly? Damn right it is. The president of the Municipal Labor Council, the head of the Sanitation Union, Mr. Harry McFarland. On the union now. We need a fair contract. All we want. It's a fair contract. For the past 4 years, he's been talking about a deficit, the mayor. And each year, there's been a surplus of $2 billion. We have 100 union city workers that are working without a contract. If he wanted to sell a contract, he could sell one of those contracts with $2 billion. No, the answer is he didn't want to settle the contract. That's the answer. When this city got hit by Sandy, you were the first ones out there helping the public. You were out there. And then after, you had to hold to your own family and settle what you have to do with your house. We live here. We make this town go. Why do you want to be the only mayor ever, never to put a dime into the city's budget for contracts? Why do you want to be the only mayor to leave here and turn around and leave 100 contracts out for the next administration? Inflation went up 5% in the last 3 years. Your paycheck has stayed the same. Right now, it's an honor to introduce the president of the UFP, Mike Melvin. We have a mayor who ran for a third term and decided to try to give this city away to his friends. He's tried to privatize our work and charge the taxpayers more money for it. He tried to turn our schools from learning places into marketplaces. And he has turned his back on the people who have always cared for this city, which are you, the people who are here on this sidewalk this afternoon. Enough is enough. The people united will not be defeated. So are we going to get defeated? Are we going to take our city back? Are we going to show this mayor that your time has run out? We are all waiting for the day when we will get respect. We demand respect, but they have deaf ears. They are deaf. 12/31/13 is summit, and that is the day I know that my union, the UFT, will rejoice. But more importantly, what we're doing here this afternoon is we're telling this whole city, you need to respect us. And more importantly, we will always be here to take care of our city. It is my honor and privilege to introduce the executive director of DC 37, Ms. Lillian Robbins.
mayor to tell the mayor we want a contract. He's got money to give us a contract too. So I'm happy that you're here today. We're all united in one way, and that is that we know we deserve it. We know that this city has it, and we want our share of it. It's very, very important. I know that there will be other speakers, but I want to raise my voice because these Secretary Kevin's been doing an awful lot of research. And we are the ones who got this budget, along with all the other labor sisters and brothers, from $16 billion to $70 billion, and they can't give us a contract? Hell no, we want a contract, we want it now!
Contract now! Contract now! Contract now! Look at all these people up here going up those sidewalks to get in the back. We're growing by the minute. Can you see us, City Hall? We deserve a raise, and we're going to get one. Let's say it together. You think he hears yet? Everyone turn around and say, "Hi, Mikey." Hi, Mikey. Bye, Mikey. It's my honor to bring up the Executive Council President of New York State Nurses Association, who takes care of us. Name is Ann Beauvais.
When Mayor Bloomberg disrespects HHC and the honorable nurses, he puts the lives of New Yorkers at risk. I'm a registered nurse at Bellevue Hospital. Every day, 8,000 nurses at HHC and Mayoral go above and beyond to save lives, to keep our public healthcare system strong. At HHC, no one ever was turned away. Ever. We care for all. We are our city's safety net. I'll never forget when Sandy bought the power in Bellevue, Coney Island, and told Goldwater's hospital to shut down. We didn't think twice about what we had to do. We safely evacuated over 1,000 patients. Not one patient died. Not one patient was left behind. And we would do it again in any instance. So HHC nurses and mayoral nurses are the foundation of our city's public health care system. Why does Mayor Bloomberg keep disrespecting us and our patients? Do patients deserve better? Yes. Does our city deserve better? Yes. Mayor Bloomberg, we have the greatest public hospital system in the country. It is empowered by us. Stop poking holes in our safety net. It's not too late to start listening to HHC and mayoral nurses and our patients. You and your successor have to take the authority to make sure each HHC facility and mayoral agency is adequately staffed. The time is now to take action, because lives depend on it.
We demand. We demand. We demand. We demand.
One of our favorite organizations, New York State Nursing Association. Progressive leaders, your red shirts were evident all over here. The positions that you advocate to give people fair contracts, decent wages and benefits, tell us about them.
You know, I work at Bellevue for 35 years. First and foremost, if we protect our patients and we support the safety net, because then we have to take care of ourselves in order to be able to do that. Bottom line is we are all New Yorkers and that are city workers. Subsequently, in order for city workers to be able to serve, they need to be able to be given living wages, and that's what we're all here for today.
And the nurses have taken up a lot of different issues, but a lot of them have to do with hospitals that are endangered in Brooklyn. You want to expand on that?
On a personal note, I've been Save Our Safety Net campaign has worked to really make sure access to care is available, and Brooklyn is a highlight right now, but it's throughout the city. I personally live in Queens, and I joke about the fact that I should have DNR on my chest because there's less than a handful of hospitals in Queens. So in terms of looking at the demographics of the patient population or the communities that we need to service in terms of access to care, it's vitally important that we look to make sure that it's not, you know, that truly isn't looked at as a business, but as a service that it needs to be provided to the community to keep us all safe and healthy.
Ann Beauvais, thank you for being here, but really thank you for the leadership that you folks have been lending to the revitalization of labor activism in the city. I know you're rushing off because you got to be dealing with the issue of Interfaith Hospital and stopping the closing. So tell us what the issues are regarding Interfaith.
My name is Dr. Bertrand M. Marcus. I'm the community director for the Borough of Brooklyn. Right now, hospital closings throughout Brooklyn. So far, they had 17 hospitals on the list. Now they're down to 12. Interfaith is one of those that's still on the chopping block. And today we will be meeting with the unions and with DOH to try to convince them that we could save this hospital. The administration for the hospital has filed bankruptcy. This is a non-profit hospital, and the management for the hospital are making $3 million a year. And still they're giving themselves bonuses of over $1 million every year. Why is it? And then they claim the hospital don't have money. So we need the administration to go, and we need the DOH to put someone in place, or we will find someone that will manage it properly.
Okay, there are a lot of hospitals in Brooklyn, including Interfaith, that are on the firing line. Does the state need to come in to fund these hospitals that are in trouble?
Yes, the state do need to come in. The state need to come in and do an investigation of these administrations that are running these hospitals, because they have been mismanaging the hospitals for too long, and the state haven't been saying anything. Many times we call on the state to come in, and they're saying, well, the management didn't call them to, and so far the state kept giving them money over and over, but they're taking the money and using it for other uses.
People want to get involved in this struggle. How do they contact your organization?
They could contact our organization, Community Advocate Development, at 347-515-9282.
Do it again.
347-515-9282.
And we're going to save Interfaith.
That's right. We must save Interfaith. We must save all the hospitals in Brooklyn, because if these hospitals close, it will put a great burden on Kings County Hospital. Right now, we still fight with Downstate and Litch to keep them open.
Great. Thank you. We're with you.
We are here with Robert Jackson, who is hustling off to the mainstay of the demonstration, which has tens of thousands of people. I know I was trapped in the middle. Robert Jackson, what do you say to a city government that allows its workers to be working without contracts for this extended period of time?
It's a damn shame. I sit on the budget negotiating team of the city council, and so whoever the next mayor is going to have a challenge, we have to raise to the challenge and be able to sit down and negotiate, because these employees that have been without a contract deserve a raise. And if you can have an escalator clause of 2-4% every year on contracts with the city of New York over $10 billion, we should be able to have a contract with municipal workforce in order to give them the increase that they rightfully deserve. I support the workers. Shame on New York City for not allowing them to have a contract for some of them for over 4.5 years.
And the Daily News keeps on saying there is no money, that city workers will be taking money and starve the city. And I think about City Times scandal. I think about the 9/11 contract, which is exploding in front of our face. Is there money?
There is money. It's about priorities. Also, we have to look at possibly getting rid of some of these tax breaks for wealthy corporations that are not broke. They're earning a lot of money. We can't give tax breaks if we don't even have money to pay our bills. And part of paying our bills is paying our municipal employees. So my final word is, where there's a will, there is a way. And sometimes you have to sit at the table and don't leave until you reach a consensus.
I'm just going to grab you for one more moment. Stop and frisk.
I co-chair the Black, Latino, and Asian caucus of the city council. The caucus normally meets immediately after the stated meeting. That's where I'm coming from, where the two Community Safety Act bills have been reintroduced. And I'm one of the sponsors of the bills in order to try to move forward to stop the racist and discriminatory practices of stop and frisk. That's the goal of it. Obviously, this mayor disagrees with us. Obviously, this police commissioner disagrees with us. It's in the courts right now. We're waiting for a decision from the judge. That has been a major issue in the mayoral debate, because whoever the next mayor is going to be the leader in setting the type of standards that no one should be stopped because of their race or the color of their skin or profile. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're turning him into our correspondent.
And who is he?
My name is Brooke Hill, and I'm with New York Communities for Change. We're interviewing Tammy Miller from the Daycare Providers Chapter of the UFT. Great. Tell us a little bit about Daycare Providers and the Daycare Providers Chapter of the UFT.
We have approximately 24,000 plus home-based daycare providers. They provide daily child care services for more than 54,000 children who receive subsidies from the city because their families are low-income working parents. Every day we open our homes and our hearts to provide nutritious meals, homework assistance, to make sure that these children are safe and protected, and to make sure that working parents could continue every day to get to their jobs and have a sustainable means of employment because they can rest assured that their children are being nurtured and safely educated in the homes of daycare workers.
What's happening with daycare funding in the current budget?
There is not enough child care funding that is being allocated to meet the growing demand and need of child care. We are looking at a mayor who is luckily on his way out that wanted to cut yet another $51 million in the child care budget. These services are critical for working parents that are already struggling to work and make ends meet. My name is Tammy Miller, and I am the chapter chair for the UFT Family Child Care Providers.
And what are you all thinking about this?
We're thinking about we're providers, and we're not paid minimum wage, and we're working. Everybody's talking about a minimum wage. We get less than people who work in a fruit stand. But we have something that's vital, children. We have a service to render, love.
And I can see that love exuding just in the way you're talking.
And you need a raise.
Oh, I need a big raise.
With Santos Crespo, head of the schools local of DC 37, and the newspapers are saying that there's no money to give the city workers pay increases. What do you respond to that?
Mayor Bloomberg has given away over $9 billion in outsourcing. There's been plenty of money throughout the years. During the budget time, it always seems that there's not going to be any layoffs of Local 372 members. And when everybody's gone and the city votes on the budget, all of a sudden there's a shortfall in the Department of Ed, and my people wind up hitting the door. I have lost over 2,000 members since this guy has been mayor. 2,000 of the lowest paid employees in the Board of Education. They have been working just to keep ends meet, and for them to wind up being put out the door, because now the city's got to put into place the safety net. It winds up costing the city three times the amount of the yearly salary that my people would have made.
Who are these workers? What do they do? And how much do they earn?
My workers are the school aides, school lunch workers, school crossing guards, substance abuse prevention specialists, parent coordinators. That particular title was part of what was negotiated when the mayor wanted to have control over the Board of Education. And that was supposed to be the bridge between the school system and the parents. So now you eliminate that, you're tearing down the bridge.
Santos Crespo, thank you for persevering and working to get the public to be self-conscious about its own dignity as the working class and to support public workers. They do the work, they make the city run. We're with Vinny Alvarez, who's the head of the Central Labor Council. So the first thing is, oh, come on, there is no money. What is the poor administration to do?
The mayor and the city have billions of dollars to spend on city time, to spend on outsourcing, to spend on no bid contracts for consultants. Let's let them find it for the workers of this city. That's what I say. Let's get to the table. Let's negotiate a good, fair contract, good faith bargain. They deserve it. There needs to be a willingness to make sure that we reward the hardworking and dedicated workers of this city in the same way that there's a willingness to immediately, in a knee-jerk way, dedicate the city's resources to outsourcing for projects that there's no oversight for, where there's no bid process. Consultants to the tune of, you know, overspending billions of dollars. I mean, you can just look at the controller reports for the past 3 or 4 years and see the incredible level of waste in the city. And we go through this pattern every year where the city says we have no money. They miraculously find it at the end of the year as we get closer to the budget process. But throughout the year, they continue to refuse to negotiate in good faith.
The level of public contempt for people who really make this city run, of the public workers. How do you begin to change the perspective and give back the dignity and really credentialize the public workers as people who do make everything that runs in this city.
The city workers, they're taxpayers too. They have a vested interest in making sure that the city runs, is operating well, is operating in a fiscally responsible manner. They're not going to do something that's going to harm themselves and their families and the communities in which they live. But there's got to be a willingness on the part of a city administration to treat these workers fairly. And we have not seen that. What we need to do is make sure that we're running full-time campaigns. Our campaigns can't end on election day. We have to make sure that we hold them accountable. We have to make sure that they're doing things which lift up not just unionized workers, but all working people. Because the pressures that we see on working people in this city, all working people, with 3 million people on Medicaid, 1.9 million on food stamps, 50,000 in temporary housing, it's unacceptable. And we can do better, and we need to lift up all working people.
Well, we thank you, so thanks for your effort.
Thank you.
We're talking to Vinnie Alvarez, president of the New York City Central Labor Council.
Talking about people who make the city run, quite literally, hey, it's the Transport Workers Union. How long have you been without a contract now?
The transit workers have added a vital service to our city. We've been without a contract for 15 months.
And not only does the mayor want to keep the wage as it is, actually that means a decrease because of inflation, but they're going to come after health care next.
Yeah, you see that from money to keep up with the cost of living as well as health care is under attack for the working class. And what we want to say to the mayor is hands off of health care for all workers. Come to the table and negotiate fair, modest raise as the economy gets better. And it's but for all these here city agencies that move New York, that are vital services for New York, whether they're teachers or people that's in the hospital. And we're just saying that now's the time for the next mayor that want to run this here great city, that on the priority list, it's the millions of workers that actually make this city go. And it's vital that they have a contract.
The Transport Workers Union, whether it was Occupy Wall Street, I mean, you folks have gone far beyond coming to these large demonstrations, collective of city and state workers. What do you think that we really need to do to bring the overall public, who themselves are workers, more into the fray of supporting their own interests so that people can really vie for their interests as the working class?
Right. I think that's extremely important. And one of the things that we have to do, the workers at large, and no matter who those workers are, union and non-union, we got to begin to talk to our neighbors and show that that postal worker that lives next door to you, that transit worker that lives next door to you, that teacher that lives next door to you, we are the makeup of the community. And I think it's but for the vast interest of all of us, of all workers, to set a standard. Those workers that have contracts with good working conditions need to be the standard for those workers that don't have that level of benefits and wages. So let workers lead, and it's up to our neighbors and our communities to join together so that workers set the standards for what all workers in this here city deserve.
We've been speaking with Charles Jenkins, Transport Workers Union. Arthur Chiliotis is the head of CWA Local 1180, and we saw him a couple of moments ago on the Jumbotron, but we're bringing him over here to say
that this city has been a city for Wall Street and not for all New Yorkers. And what we're looking for is a city that works for all New Yorkers. So that message was conveyed quite clearly. Well, I think it must have been a record-breaking crowd here. We will see what these candidates for office pursue, because in the end, we know that we're fighting some of the richest people in the world right here in New York City.
Well, you've got Christy Quinn, who's basically saying that the city can't afford to give the retro raises, can't afford to give any prospective raises without givebacks on health care. On the other side, you've got John Liu. What's in the middle?
Christine Quinn is certainly an example of another 4 years of Bloomberg. So why would we expect differently? John Liu, who we have endorsed, we've seen a willingness to sit down and talk about how, in fact, as I said in my speech, city workers, when they get a wage increase, spend it in New York City. and help improve the economy. There is a multiplier effect when city workers get a wage increase because they don't spend the money in Bermuda or send it over to Switzerland. They spend it in New York City, helping small businesses and allowing those small businesses to hire people who can support their families. Now, because the 1% doesn't pay their fair share, the burden is put on working people rather than being put on those rich people. Then they take the money and they send it out of town. We need the money to be spent here, and that is what we're trying to achieve with the next mayor.
Arthur, what would you say are the primary issues on the agenda?
To talk about the dynamic that people don't want to talk about, that is class struggle. What do we mean when we say the 1%? Who are we talking about? We're talking about the very rich in this country, not just the city, and the power that they have over the city. And the question is, do we really want to begin to demand that we have a democracy that's responsive to our needs?
People in the private sector, whether they're organized or not, they're being told that if the city workers get a raise, the city will not have enough money to do its services. What do you say to that?
What we see, for example, 93% of the working people in this nation don't have basic benefits like a defined benefit pension and don't have good health care packages, that the chances of public workers keeping it gets diminished. And on the flip side of that, private sector workers have to realize that unless we maintain the standards in the public sector, their standards will be diminished. And so that we're all from the same class. We all face the same issues. We are not the uber rich in this society who look to suck every penny out of it. We are looking to sustain a decent life. And that is really all our goals. And we should understand how much we have in common and not how we're manipulated and divided by the people at the top to make sure that they walk away with everything.
Arthur Chiliotis, president of Local 1180 of CWA, Communication Workers of America. Thanks for speaking with us. Some of the recorded sound from the rally of municipal workers that took place at City Hall Park. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.